please just calm my spirit. Help me to represent you the way you want me to. God, I pray that you will just, that this message will be your message, Lord. Please bring to mind the things that you want me to say and help me to forget the things you don't want me to say. In all of this, that you will be glorified. We ask and say this all in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning I decided to talk about marriage. I didn't want to continue in Timothy. I didn't want to mess up. Kevin's been doing really great, so didn't want to mess with that. So I decided to talk about marriage because marriage is something that is very important to God. If my clicker works. God's work begins and ends with a marriage. Because my clicker isn't working. On Genesis 2:4, he starts out in the beginning after creation. He married the man and a woman that he created, and he ends it in Revelation at the end, where he comes down, gathers us, his church, as his bride, and we go up and have the marriage supper. So marriage is important to God. It begins and ends with a marriage. So in a marriage, I want to encourage you guys who and gals who aren't married or single, there's still stuff in here for you. If you plan on communicating with the opposite sex, you can get some information today. So how can you not have trouble in marriage? I'll take the next one. How can you avoid having marital problems? There is a verse in the Bible that if you clearly follow this, you will never, ever have any troubles in marriage. It's in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8. And if you do this to the letter, you will not have any troubles in marriage. If you stay single, you will have no trouble in marriage. Guaranteed. But if we do get married, why do we have trouble in our marriages? Why do we have trouble in our marriages? And Paul goes on to say, just a few verses later, he tells us why we have trouble in our marriages. 1 Corinthians 28, verse 7, the latter half. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles. And I want to spare you this. I think that's a false thing that we as Christians are told. You know, if you're a Christian and you believe in God, you'll have a perfect marriage, you'll have no problems, your life will be just perfect. That's not in the Bible anywhere. In fact, it says, if you get married, you'll have worldly troubles. So that's a false thing that we are told and that we believe that we will not have troubles in our marriage. It's okay that we have troubles in our marriage. The thing that we got to do is make sure that it's not all troubles. If it's all troubles, you don't have a healthy marriage. If you don't have any troubles in your marriage, it's also not a healthy marriage because you got stuff building up and there's going to be a big boom. So we got to keep it balanced. Too much trouble, not good. No trouble whatsoever is also not healthy. So we got to be in between there. So what are some of the hardest things on our marriage? What are the things that happen in marriage that causes conflict? They did a study on this. They asked people all over the world, not just in the U.S., all over the world, what are the hardest things on marriage? And the number one thing that is the hardest thing on marriage is communication. Lack of communication, communicating in the wrong way. Communication is hard because God wired us different. So it's really hard. The communication is really hard on marriage. Number two, the hardest thing on a marriage is money issues. Money is a hard thing. You know, not enough, too much. If any of you have too much money, come on and talk to me, okay? I'll help you out with that. But making money decisions is really hard on a marriage. Number three comes in at your in-laws. It's proven that, you know, we both come into a marriage and our parents have influenced us. And so dealing with that is very hard in a marriage. Number four came in at parenting. How do you parent your kids? Personally, I think 3 and 4 should be flopped around, but, you know, each marriage is different. So how you parent your kids, that's really hard in a marriage. And number five is major life changes. And actually, I stopped at number 5, but 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all major life changes. If you change jobs, if you move, if a family member or a friend dies, all major changes are hard on a marriage. But today, I want to concentrate on the number one trouble in marriage, communication. That's what I want to talk about today. Now, what I'm talking about is statistics and stuff, and it's average. Not every single marriage is this way, but the thing I'm talking about is average. So if it's not exactly for you, just tweak it a little bit. Like if you are flying an airplane and your heading is 090, get you right to your destination. Well, what if there is a wind? You can actually change it to 060 and still get the exact same destination, just be flying a little bit crooked. But you get to the same destination. And so that's what, you know, there's variables in marriage. Not all this stuff is exactly for your marriage, but the principles are all the same. It's very clear that men and women are different. God created us different. I think we can all agree on that, right? So what are some of these differences? How do we know that we are different? We're different from little bitty babies. Baby boy is born, baby girl is born. First thing they do is the girl looks around the room until she finds a face. They are very much emotional, communicational. They find that face and they study it and they're locked on it. Baby boy's born, he comes out, he looks around the room and finds a face until he finds a ceiling fan. And then he's lost. They grow up when they get a little bit bigger, a little bit older. You take a boy, give him two coat hangers and send him into a room all by himself. You come back a few minutes later, what does he have? A car and a gun. Right? Take a little girl, do the exact same thing. Give her two coat hangers, put her in a room all by herself, come back a little bit later. What's she doing? They're marching down the aisle getting ready to get married. You know? And we get older and we have kids, we become parents. We parent different. How do you know this? Have you ever been to a swimming pool? You know, the mom comes up there and goes, okay, water's warm. Come on, it's nice. Come on in. This is good. You can tell when the dad's there. There's a loud scream before a big splash. You know? It's just, we're different. We're just totally, completely different. So I want to talk about some of these differences, how we can work through these differences so that we can communicate with each other. Start out by God made our brains different. And Julie and I have done some marriage counseling, listened to other marriage counselors and stuff, and tried to come up with an analogy that will help people understand each other, how the husband understand the wife and the wife to understand the husband. So the thing that we've come up with the best is a man's brain is made up of a whole bunch of boxes. All right? He's got all kinds of boxes in his brain. And he's got a box for everything. He's got a box for the wife. He's got a box for the kids. He's got a box for his job. He's got a box for money. He's got a box for car. He's got a box for your mother-in-law somewhere down in the basement. But a guy has all kinds of boxes. And there are some rules with these boxes, okay? The boxes can't touch each other. All right? They can't touch each other. And when you take a box out, you only discuss what's in that box. That's it. Nothing else. If you want to talk about something else, we got to carefully put that box away, making sure it doesn't touch any other boxes. Get out the next box, and then we can discuss what's in that box. Now we go to a woman's brain. Yeah. Ooh. The best analogy we could come up with is just a big ball of string or a big ball of wire. All right? Because a woman's brain, everything is connected to everything. The husband's connected to the kids are connected to the job's connected to the car's connected to the finances are connected to the mother-in-law's connected back to the kids. Everything is connected. So how can we do with everything is connected and everything touches, communicate with the ones that aren't connected, they don't touch, all right? There's two different patterns that God wired us. Neither one of them is wrong. They're both right, because that's the way God made us. But how do we communicate with each other? That causes conflict. Now, guys can multitask, develop. So what do you say about those? Well, guys can get the ability where they can take and pull out multiple boxes and be able to jump between them. It is still separate boxes, still different things, but some guys have the ability where they can jump, take out multiple boxes, jump between them, and that's kind of how guys come into the multitasking stage. But guys are not like women where everything is absolutely connected. That's why guys have the ability where we can come and set this, you know, take and set work totally and completely aside when we walk through that door and not worry about it. Where you gals, your work is connected when you come home. It's all the same thing. And so you don't understand about the guy who can take and not think about that. Another thing that is different is the guy's brain is motivated by actions, adventure, conquering. Those are the kind of thing that gets the guy brain going. It's all about adventure. It's all about conquering. Why won't a guy ever ask for a direction? Well, that's because he's trying to find out, I have a map and I have a concrete jungle. Can I make it? You know? It doesn't matter to a guy as if you're, well, we kind of got there late. He's like, we got there. We conquered it. We made it. That's one of the reasons why a guy doesn't want to stop and ask for directions. Now, a woman's brain is totally different than that. It is totally completely run by emotions. How you feel about it. She doesn't care about conquering the job. She doesn't care about accomplishing the job. She cares about the pathway of getting to the job. How did we do that? That's what she can, that's what, how she's wired. An example of how this works is mom's on the phone talking. Kids come up, they're having an argument. She can talk on the phone, she listens to the argument. Okay, you do this, you do that, and send them on their way. What happens when a guy's talking on the phone? Hold on just a second. What are you interrupting me for? All right. What's going on? Okay, shh. What's going on? Okay. We do one thing at a time. Where they can do all of it all at once. It's even into the tasks that you do. My wife has the ability to be brushing her teeth, walking around the house, getting the kids ready for church and stuff, and never ever spilling and making a mess. What do us guys do when we brush the teeth? It's a job we're going to conquer, right? And we start brushing our teeth. Don't turn up the water too fast because we brush the beat of the water and we might get a headache, you know? It's just how we do our tasks. Even our tasks are different. Now there's a box that a guy has. This is a box that causes all kinds of conflict. Women don't understand this box. And it causes all kinds of trouble. The amazing thing is, for a guy, it is the biggest box. What is it? It's the nothing box. It's a box that a guy has that is absolutely nothing. And you women are like, what are you talking about? I don't even understand that. And if a guy has a chance, every single time, he will go to his nothing box. Why? That's how a guy rejuvenates. That's how he re-energizes. And you gals don't understand that at all. It doesn't make sense to you. So he comes home, stressful day at work, sits down and goes into his nothing box. And you come there to talk to him and stuff. And what does he do? He's withdrawn. He's silent. Doesn't want to talk to you. And your brain automatically, because everything's connected, it's like, there must be something wrong. What did I do? I need to talk to him about it. And that's not what he wants. He needs just to sit down and relax. And this causes conflict because women don't understand it. It's not that it's wrong. It's just that they don't understand it. And you gals know that there is nothing that irritates you more than to see a man doing absolutely nothing, right? This nothing box, this thing that a guy goes to, is the one that allows him to do absolutely nothing for hours on end. Like fishing. Hours and hours on end of doing absolutely nothing. Or sitting in front of a TV. Click. 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 You come up there and go, holy smokes, what are you doing? It's impossible for you to be watching anything. What are you doing? I'm not. You know? He's not watching anything. It's just a way to help him to get into his nothing box. And you gals are like, wow, a nothing box, that's awesome. Can I join him in the nothing box? No, because then there'd be something in it. And besides that, you know, you gals, if you came in the nothing box, you'd do this, right? There's some pictures over there. A table here with some flowers on it. We're like, no, it's a nothing box. You can't have anything in it. And that's something you gals don't understand. And you can't comprehend it because that's not the way God wired you. You gals, everything's going all the time. Everything's connected. And it's hard for you, even at night when you go to bed, just to get things to shut down enough so you can go to sleep. Us guys, you know, we go to bed, we get into our nothing box, and we're gone. My wife teases me that, yeah, I can go into the bedroom, shut the light off, and be in bed and asleep before the bulb goes out. The nothing box is where the guy will go every chance he gets, especially when he's stressed out, because that's where he goes to rejuvenate, to relax, to figure things out. And you love your guy so much, right? You want to bring him your absolute best and help him out. So you see him all stressed out, sitting there and stuff, and what do? You come walking up there and go, do you want to talk about it? No, he doesn't want to talk about it. Just let him stay in his nothing box, give him a few, and he'll come around. Communication, when you're communicating with each other. Guys, communication is hard for guys, especially when they're communicating with a gal where everything is touching. Because you gals have this ability to spider web, right? You start out on a topic, and the guy goes, okay. Going along on the topic, and all of a sudden from nowhere, it's wires touch. You're on, oh, okay, hold on a minute, you know. Okay, I'm on that topic now. He just missed out on half of the conversation, you know? Then you gals keep going, all of a sudden, you switch again. You're on a different topic, because your wires touch. Everything's all connected. Phew, all right, I'm back in the conversation now. Now what's he saying? And then you start switching faster and faster, and we can't keep up, and then what do? Whew. Okay, all right, now just give me a second. And what does she say? You're not even listening. And he goes, you're right, I'm not. You lost me 20 minutes ago. I don't even know where we're at. We started out that we were talking about your mom, and now we're talking about cows and going shopping. It's like, where did that happen? Julie and I have been working on this a lot because communication is the number one problem in a marriage. And there's a lot of times that when we do that, and we get on these, and I'm just like, she has the ability now that once I start glazing over, you know, she's like, oh, I've lost you, haven't I? I'm like, yeah. We started out that we were talking about the car, and now we're talking about going shopping for clothes. I'm like, what happened? And then she'll backtrack it. She'll go, well, this was connected to this, this is connected to this. And I'm like, okay, I can see how we got there. But for me in a conversation, it's just like, oh, wow. And so that's why there's so much conflict in conversation and stuff, is because God has made us different. We're totally, completely different. Not wrong, because God doesn't make mistakes. We're just different. And so we need to help each other out on our communication, try and understand each other. Gals, if you want your guy to understand you more and know where you're going and you start seeing that glaze over, give him facts. It'll bring him back around. He can understand it. He needs facts. All the girls, when they sit down and talk, it's more all about emotions and stuff. It's all about what's going on. That's why a guy can be on the phone with somebody, you know, his friend or his mom or something, be on the phone for an hour, you know, he's like, wow. Hangs up on the phone, and you go, well, how's she doing? Fine. What would you guys talk about? Nothing. You know? Because for a guy, 99% of the conversation was nothing. There was no facts. There was no facts in there. He didn't get nothing. For you gals. Preach it, brother. For you gals, you all gather around a table and talk with each other and it's all about, you know, you're working on your feelings and stuff. How did that make you feel? Well, we did this, and how did that color make you look? Oh, well, guys, you're like, what? Color? When I got married, you know, I get dressed, you know, when I was single, nobody cared. But when I got dressed and I come out and my wife looks at me and goes, you wearing that with that? Well, I guess not. Let me go change. We don't know. It doesn't matter if, you know, the color goes with the color. So we've established, you know, how men and women are definitely different. So how do you communicate with this strange guy, you know? If he's that much different than you, how do we even communicate with each other? Let me give you some hints here. They did a study where they took in all different ages, all different places. They would take two guys, put them in a completely blank room with two chairs in it. They did the same thing with gals. Two chairs in the room, otherwise the room is totally, completely blank. Every single time, no matter which age group, the guys would come in, they would turn the chairs so they were side by side and sit down and stare at the blank wall. Every single time. Every single time the gals would walk into the room, the two chairs would turn and face each other and they would sit down and be eye to eye. Every single time. But they found out in that study that the guys would sit there and not say anything, but they had the deepest conversations when they did say something. They would sit there and just stare at the wall, and one would turn to the other one and say something, and the other one would respond, and they were communicating on a much deeper level than the gals did. So a guy does communicate. He will communicate with you. You just need to do it in his way. You go out in nature. When two animals face off and look at each other, what is that? That's a challenge. But that's how you gals communicate. You sit down and look at each other. That's how you relate. For a guy, we are motivated by respect. We respect each other. That's when you get out on the playground, Jimmy ended up knocking Susie down by accident. And the teacher comes out and says, you need to apologize. What does he do? He walks over there and goes, oh, he's sorry. Teacher goes, no, look at him. Look at her. Apologize to her. That's not how he's doing. He's being very respectful. He's keeping his eyes down, giving her respect. Oh, he's sorry. So that's number one. If you gals want to have a good conversation with your guy, it's shoulder to shoulder. Not eye to eye, because to him, that is a starting of conflict. Out in nature again, you women start talking, and you emphasize stuff, and your voice raises. Out of nature, what happens? If you meet a bear on the trail, the last thing you want to do is go, "Rrr." It's not good. You don't want to raise your voice. Because to a guy, that means, all right, let's fight. And trying to be on the deeper communication goes away. Because he's going, okay, now you're challenging me. Another thing to communicate with a guy. There is one thing that every single husband in here, it's true about every single one of them. They just want to know what you want. They just want to know what you want. So tell us. Just tell us what you want. Well, if I have to tell him what he wants, and you know, he doesn't really want to do it. No, he wants to know. Does it matter that, you know, okay, I want him to go mow the lawn, but he should just automatically know about that, and it's never, ever going to get done? Or you go to him and say, hey, honey, I'd really appreciate it if you mowed the lawn. When you communicate with a guy, there are three key things. Simple, direct, and to the point. And that's not how you gals communicate. You gals communicate by kind of beating around the bush and hinting at it and hinting at it. Us guys, man, we just switched into our nothing boxes. Like, they lost me. Just say it to us direct. That's how guys talk to each other. They'll tell each other exactly what they're thinking, and boom. All right, now I know what he wants. I'll go get it done. At work, it's like, you go do this. Okay. Boom, he's off and getting it done. If another guy at work, you know, his supervisor comes up and he goes, well, I think you should go out and walk around and see what needs to be done the most out there. And then, you know, if it doesn't hurt your feelings too much and stuff, I think you should start on that. He's not going to be a management, you know, because he's not communicating. He can't communicate to the other guys. A very key thing in on the communication is the way that you talk to him, the way that you ask him things. It's not only has to be simple, direct, and to the point, it has to be respectful. A lot of you gals go by negative reinforcements is how you talk to each other. You got your makeup smeared a little bit. Oh, run to the bathroom, let's fix that. You go up to a guy and goes, hey, your hair's kind of messed up. What's he going to do? How does it look now? You know? That's not how a guy works. You have to speak to him in a very respectful way. In a direct way. If you come up to him and says, hey, hon, I'd really appreciate it if you mowed the lawn today. All right. If you came up to him and says, you've kind of been watching TV for a while. Don't you think it's about time you go mow the lawn? He just bowed his neck, and it's going to take 10 times more to get him to move and go do that lawn. Because now he's just like, oh, I'll show her. It's just the way that we're wired. This next one is, you need to train him. You need to train your guy. Think of it kind of like training an ape. All right? I'm serious. When they train an ape, what do? They reward him. They reward him. Us guys have very fragile egos. Very fragile egos. And to reward us, that just builds us up hugely. If you went to an ape and you're trying to get him to do something, and he reaches for the wrong thing, and you reach out and slap his hand, what's going to happen? One of two things. Guys are wired. One of two things are going to happen. That ape is either going to whack you back, or else he's going to get up and leave. That's the way we were wired. We have two options, fight or flight. That's it. So do it by rewarding. No matter how simple, no matter how silly his job is, reward him. Give him respect. If he loads a dishwasher for you gals, just thank God and call it good. It doesn't matter that he loaded it completely wrong. It doesn't matter. Just say, hey, oh, thank you, honey, for loading the dishwasher. Call it good. If he actually picks his socks up off the floor and goes and puts them in the laundry basket, just say, oh, thank you, honey, for picking up your socks. No, that's the wrong basket. You're supposed to go in that basket. He'll never do it again. So you need to train him. Another one is to, that's a good one, is to barter with him. Isn't that how guys always work? He goes to work to a job that he doesn't really like, but why does he do it? Because he gets paid and he can take care of his family. A guy's life is all about barter. So find out something that he really wants to do. Hey, honey, you want to go do this? Well, let's get this done first and let's do it. He'll do it. Just barter with him. It's not disrespectful for a guy to barter with a guy or a guy to barter with a gal. It's not disrespectful at all. That's how we live. That's how our everyday work, that's how it is. We swap this for this. If it's a fair trade, all right, let's do it. So just find out what he likes, what he wants, and barter with him. There's nothing wrong with that. The last one I would like to talk about is a lot of different marriage counseling stuff call it the short order communication. You guys all know, you know, go to Mickey D's or Taco Bell or one of those fast food joints, and you say, well, I'd like a hamburger, a soft drink, and a small fry. And they come back, so that means you want a large fry, a small drink, and a medium burger. Nope, that's not what I said. So when you two are talking with each other, before, and I know this is really hard for you gals, because that's the first thing, is everything's emotional driven, but before we react, ask them, now I just heard you say this. Most of the time he'll go, whoa, no, that's not what I said at all. This is what I meant to say. This is what I was trying to say. But if we get upset and start going down that line of this is what I thought you said, we'll never actually figure out what the communication is. We just end up starting a big conflict. So this is kind of a recap for the day. Men and women are different. I think we can all establish that and agree on that. Men have boxes. Women, boxes that nothing touches. Everything is in their own little box, not connected to anything else. And women, brains are wired that everything is connected. And because of that, we have conflict with communication because we just communicate different. In the communication with a guy, the main key things you got to do is it's got to be respectful, it's got to be simple, direct, and to the point. And then he'll understand exactly what you want, and he will be able to make a rational decision then if that's what he should do or not, rather than being totally, completely confused and being in his nothing box, and you go, well, you weren't even listening to me. And then all of a sudden, there comes the conflict. This week, I kind of only talked about the guys. Next week, I'm going to talk about the gals and how to relate with them. So all you guys, tell your guy friends, hey, we can learn about how what makes a woman tick, how to understand our wives. Woohoo, let's go. Because I know for us guys, 90% of us are clueless. I know I was. I was raised in a home that only had brothers, no sisters. My mom was more of a tomboy than anything else. She no makeup, no jewelry, nothing like that. I was clueless when I got married. And Julie and I went to marriage counseling and stuff, and a lot of different marriage seminars, and learned this information, and we were going like, why didn't anybody tell us this? You know? And then I went back and I started asking some, you know, my dad and some of my close friends, I said, why didn't you guys tell me this? And they're like, I don't know that. Somewhere along the line, we've kind of lost that understanding of men and understanding of women. So next week, we'll talk about how to understand women and how to communicate the direction with her and what how to relate with her. Let's go ahead and pray. God, you're an awesome God, and we just thank you for creating us. We know that you did not make mistakes. You do not make mistakes. So you created us guys just the way you wanted us. You created gals just the way you wanted them. Please guide us through these troubles that we run into in marriage and use them to draw us closer to you and closer to each other. And God, help us to do the most important thing in our marriage, and that is to keep you as the center of it. Because if you are the center of it, it will be strong. It will be right. We ask and say this all in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody, have a good week, and